Around the NFL podcast. Turn down coaching the Bengals.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room filled with some heroes. Chris Wessling to my left, Greg Rosenthal to my right. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
How are you? Big addition to the studio. It's called the Wessling Cam. One of the in-house cameras is just trained on Wes at all times. And Wes not comfortable with it, but...
And it's just displaying in front of us on a big screen, looking at old Wes's shiny dome.
Wes not comfortable with it, but the fact of the matter is, Greg and I like it, and two beats one, so that is a new tradition here at the Around the NFL podcast.
I like my head shiny.
I like more Wes's. I mean, imagine a show with two Wes's just like arguing at each other. All right, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why I'm giving him that.
You're full of beer. You're out of your tree.
We should have that Wes be in favor of instant replay for OPI and DPI, and then this Wes be angry about it.
Yeah, that Wes.
That Wes.
Crazy.
That Wes hates Joe Flacco. This Wes loves him.
It is funny to think about, and you can basically look at his brothers and push this theory forward that I just came up with, was that Wes would get really sick of Wes. Like, if there was another Wes, they'd be at each other's throat.
Hell yeah.
That's borderline cutting, but also, like, Wes agrees with you, so that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Neither one would back down. It basically is watching you with your brothers.
No, it's like Superman and Bizarro Superman. You know, he would be strong where I'm weak and vice versa.
I have an update. I mentioned this off camera, off mic, a couple weeks ago that the old Zeuser was getting some pocket squares for his blazers. What do you call them? The jackets?
Yeah.
For our various duties on camera here. And I'll tell you what, Wes, you saw it as what it was.
It was a gauntlet. Throwing a gauntlet.
Greg reacting with a little bit of like, ooh. Where did this come from? All right.
That's
I'm
going
to lift my game. Well, who shows up in a safari jacket next week?
That was like there was a coincidence there.
So I just want everyone to know that in the mail from Amazon arrived four new pocket squares and the little device that you put in the coat pocket where you prop up the pocket square. And that is making its debut next week on the Around the NFL Twitter show. So check it out, everybody.
Well, the ball is clearly in our court now.
No, my reaction was more think of how much time I would have spent of your life if I told you every time a new clothing, article arrived at my house.
Yeah, but you
might not like that.
You weren't trying to be the rising tide lifting all boats like Dan is here.
Right. I'm saying, listen, the old Zeuser is bringing the pocket squares. You look around, every male figure in media now is rocking the pocket square. Why haven't we done it? Do we want to be taken seriously or not?
Finish the suit.
Finished a suit. Who was that? Who said that?
There was a guy who ran into us at the Super Bowl at like 2:30 in the morning.
I think literally ran into you. Yeah.
He stopped us and said, you all look great. Mm. You're dressed well, but finish the suit. Get a pocket square.
So Dan's like thinking like, wow, I just watched one of those, up to the minute shows from 2015. I got to step up what Andrew Siciliano has been doing since then.
See, I hear your voice and the tone, and it sounds like jealousy because you didn't think of this first. Because now you're in a tough spot.
I've actually worn pocket squares on NFL Network multiple times. How about that?
I've never seen it. In fact,
it's only been like literally
you
twice.
One from I think
it's
Siciliano twice. Once. I think right.
There was one tied into his thing. I think the wardrobe department once or twice just put them in there, and it's like, all right, let's do it.
But they were not your.
They were not mine. They were the NFL Network's. Mm.
Gauntlet thrown down. You're in a tough spot because now if you wear, and I know you, Greg, if you put the pocket square in, you're going to be like, Hansis is going to think I did it because of him. And now you're in an impossible spot.
I'm not into it. I can.
You don't want to finish your suit?
I want you guys to look good. I think we all should feel good, look good, play good.
One of the best quotes ever. Deion Sanders?
Yeah. Deion.
Look good, play good. Play good, feel good. Eat good, make money. Something like that.
Something along those lines.
All right, big show today. The 2019 San Diego Greybeards are unveiled. Yes, that is the making a roster out of the best remaining free agents on the market. The old Zeuser wrote a banger, NFL.com/Hansis. Check it out. And we will talk about it.
For new listeners to the show, Dan is the old Zeuser. So he's not talking about a guest that's going to join our show a little later. It's him.
And also maybe, Ricky, a little musical accompaniment. accompaniment to the Greybeards.
Yeah, I'll work something up for you.
Okay. And but before that, we're going to do some news. So let's hit it.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Ah, beast mode. Is that a call forward?
It's called a not a callback, but the opposite.
It's like a tease.
Right.
It's like a tease. Nice some tease. News coming up.
Beast mode might have a role in the news and beyond on today's show. Let's start though with a running back that is not Marshawn Lynch. It is Jordan Howard. The Chicago Bears have moved the running back, shipping him to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a 2026 round pick. This went down on Thursday night. The Eagles announced it. Conditions in the trade could flex that selection to a fifth rounder in 2020. We'll see. Howard's been been dangled in trade talks since before even last season. Tariq Cohen has really emerged in that office, especially under Matt Nagy. So now with Mike Davis also in the room, Jordan Howard doesn't have a place. Wes, I remember when my first son was born, or maybe it was my second. It would have been 2016. Jordan Howard was breaking out on the scene, and you were never really sold on Howard as a player, but he did manage to put up some numbers and be a productive guy for a while there in Chicago. What do you think about where he fits in Philly and where he is as a player at this stage?
Well, I think that he was going to be demoted in Chicago, and it's never a good idea to carry demoted guy who's been used to being the star of the offense.
Say
and the
demoted?
Demoted?
He's hitting that T hard. I noticed that, too.
Demoted. Demoted?
Demoted.
Demoted. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, he's used to being the offensive focal point, which he was under John Fox. And we knew last year when Nagy came in, immediately the rumors were there that Jordan Howard doesn't fit the offense. And we saw that. His production went way down last year. And I think of Jordan Howard, I've always thought of him as sort of the late-stage Adrian Peterson skill set. He's a one-dimensional back. No coach wants to play him on passing downs, and he's sort of a tell for what you're going to do. So you sort of have to tailor your offense to him, and the Bears weren't going to do that.
And he caught 20 passes for them last year, so they tried to make him a little bit of a threat in the receiving game. He still had 250 carries, so he's been excellent. I give the Eagles credit. Like, everyone says you don't have to pay for running backs. It's easy to find running backs. They're not panicking at running back. And they sent a sixth-round pick in 2020. These fifth- and sixth-round picks are overrated. And I think smart teams like the Eagles and the Rams and the Patriots have been using them to get veterans who, Jordan Howard's not going to change their team, but he's going to fill a hole for the 2019 season and be solid.
Doesn't it feel like the last couple of years, especially the Eagles are the kings of these type of moves?
These type
of players that are... they have some history of success, but they're not superstars, but they might be more valuable than people realize, and the Eagles bring them into their building.
They do a great job, and they have Corey Clement there. We'll see who else.
Wendell Smallwood.
Maybe they draft someone. Who knows? It's not a long-term solution, but if you need someone to take some carries up the middle, they needed someone.
Meanwhile, on the throne of sleaze, the New England Patriots thought they had a defensive coach on their staff for the 2019 season in Greg Schiano. Although I guess the hire was never officially announced, and we didn't know what
they have not announced their coaching staff at all
yet.
So they haven't announced any coaching changes, which is a typical Patriots move. They don't do it until every last spot is filled.
But there was an idea out there that he was going to be the defensive coordinator.
Yes, right? I think that was the expectation.
Well, guess what? Greg Schiano walks away from the Patriots, citing a need to step back, spend some time with his family. Here is a statement on the matter. I have informed Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick that I am stepping down from my position. This is not the result of any one event, but rather a realization that I need to spend more time on my faith and family. I don't want to look back years from now and wish I had done things differently. Therefore, I'm taking time away from the game to recalibrate my priorities. Bill Belichick, in a statement, was behind Schiano. But this is the same Belichick that a couple days ago, in a different media context, was talking about how excited he was to have Schiano on the staff. So something happened. We don't know all the details, but what we do know is that Schiano will not be connected to the Pats.
Well, they've been friends a long time, and Belichick said that in the statement, that he's a close friend. So it's not even worth speculating about why. Maybe it's just the adjustment going from college back to the pros and remembering what that's like. Who knows?
No, the faith and family thing is interesting.
Well, right. I mean, they
putting in more hours.
I mean, the college coaching is an easy job compared to the NFL job. That's just a fact in terms of the hours that you spend. But it's wild, and it points out the incredible exodus from the Patriots this offseason, not just on the coaching staff, but the defensive coaching staff is what stands out the most. Here's who left. The defensive play caller last year, Brian Flores. Cornerbacks coach Josh Boyer. They both went to Miami. But yeah, I think people know about Flores. The defensive line coach, Brendan Daly, went to the Chiefs. Coaching assistants, DeMarcus Covington, Mike Pellegrino, also left. They might have to step up. If you go to the Patriots website right now and go to their staff, bunch of offensive coaching staff, and you can look at their bio, you know, find out all about Josh McDaniels.
Can't wait.
There's one defensive coach. His name is Steve Belichick. That's it. He's the only coach that anyone knows about that's on the staff. Like, what is happening right now?
His picture looks like he just got back from a Smashing Pumpkins concert in 1996.
It's just Bill and Steve. Maybe that's Bill's dream. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I wonder if there's a little bit of, like, Michael Jordan in 1993 going on here. What's left to prove? So Belichick's like, what if I just run the defense, me and my son, by ourselves? That's a challenge.
And to your point, you're looking at that Patriots.com site. The only one that really matters is the giant photo of the guy on top. Everything else, I think, will be worked out. I don't know if you're raising any red flags on this, but come on. Bill knows what he's doing. He'll figure it out.
I think it's a little – it's just another obstacle. And the bigger issue is that Rob Gronkowski, you know, retired. And
Trey Flowers
and they
gone.
And they lost
Cordarrelle Patterson.
That, to me, is a bigger concern than the coaches. But I think that's something to manage. I mean, they had this plan with Shiano, who he loves. And now he doesn't have a coach he loves.
All right, let's move on. The Raiders, Marshawn Lynch, he spent the last 2 years there. Well, the door might be closing for Beast Mode because Isaiah Crowell, who spent last year with the Jets, signs with the Raiders a one-year deal worth up to $2.5 million. Rap Sheet reported Thursday. Oakland confirmed the move. You join a backfield that also has Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington, Chris Warren, the muscle hamster. Doug Martin is not in the mix there. And neither, it seems, will Marshawn Lynch at this point, right?
Well, Rap Sheet said today on our air that it's unlikely Marshawn Lynch will be back with the Raiders. Hmm. There was talk that maybe after the draft they could see where they are, but it seems like this is a move. And I thought Isaiah Crowell, who I'm sure Jets fans were dancing in the street when he was gone and replaced by Le'Veon Bell, had some promising games last year.
He did. Listen, don't get caught up in the 4.8 yards per attempt. He finished.
That was Bradley Roby assisted.
Yeah,
that game against the Broncos when he just right. ran through open stretches.
He had 685 yards on the season and over 200 came in one game. He was really, he was kind of a nothing burger for much of the season, especially in the second half. But yeah, maybe you catch him, and if you use him the right way, he can give you a little something.
He is a replacement level running back.
Yes.
I mean, and
the Raiders, good in the receiving.
The Raiders are kind of the team at the end of free agency that just almost have a little too much money to spend. They also signed linebacker Brandon Marshall from the Broncos, who I thought was maybe one of the better players available. So it's not a terrible move, but they're paying, you know, you're paying just like a little extra. You know what I mean? Like the Eagles, they get Jordan Howard, who's on a rookie contract, who's better than Isaiah Crowell, who's getting paid double what Jordan Howard's going to pay. So it's just like a small difference of, like, I think what the smart teams do and what the Raiders do.
Did you know that Brandon Marshall pulled a Anthony Barr on the Greybeards? We had a handshake deal. He was going to be our starting linebacker, and then he walks across the street and signs with another team.
Do the Greybeards have the GM app?
They got to get on that.
Yeah.
We're not technically.
Got to question their GM.
We're not officially. Well, that's me. We're not officially recognized by the National Football League at this point. In fact, there could be litigation coming at some point.
It's a fledgling operation.
But I would love to be a part of.
It was a savvy move to talk to Brandon Marshall, because you're going to have those dumb fans who thinks it's the other Brandon Marshall and just, hey, buy the ticket for that.
That Brandon Marshall was not in negotiations with the Greybeards, which tells you a lot about his value
wow.
in 2019. The Dallas Cowboys make a trade. Robert Quinn arrives from the Miami Dolphins in exchange for a 2020 sixth-round pick. He takes a little bit of a haircut. That's a reduction in pay. He signs a new one-year deal worth $9.2 million. He could earn up to $10 million if he records 7 sacks, which feels like a very Robert Quinney number.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Wes, what do you think about this move? Did this make the Dallas defensive line better?
I think it did. If you looked, I'm surprised by the contract number. That really surprises me.
The Dolphins are paying some of it.
Okay. You look at this team, and David Irving did not really give them anything last year. He was great in flashes the year before. Randy Gregory had a really good year. Both those guys are gone. And I think you bring in Robert Quinn, you bring in Kerry Hyder, who was 1 year removed from an 8-sack season as a rotational pass rusher. They did a good job adding depth. They brought in Christian Covington from the Texans to play tackle for them. And I think they count on their defensive line having a lot of bodies to throw at people. And I think they did a good job of coming up with depth here.
Let me throw one thing out there, Greg. You tell me if this is completely crazy. But we just came off a season where Le'Veon Bell got tagged his second year and said, no, smell you later. I'll be back next year with a big contract somewhere else. Was there a little bit of thought that we want to protect ourselves in case this DeMarcus Lawrence situation turns ugly? Apparently contract talks are going nowhere between Lawrence and the Cowboys right now.
No, because, man, they can't imagine a world where they wouldn't have DeMarcus Lawrence. And he's getting paid so much on the franchise tag. It'd be hard to imagine him sitting it out. But it raises the point that I think they should just be spending that money on re-signing their old guys. Like, I get it, Quinn. I've always rooted for Robert Quinn, but the fact that the Rams and the Dolphins gave up on him in back-to-back years and both seasons were so similar in that he came out of the gates in September looking very strong, and then his back issues have kind of made him a career what-if. Because for younger fans who just kind of are, you know, haven't been following, like, his 2013 season to me ranks with the best defensive seasons of the decade. And it was one season. But he had that sort of get off and that sort of potential, but he hasn't been able, and he's known
what
as
if
kind
you
of
play him 20 snaps a game.
Yeah, maybe I think that could be better, that he's a part-time guy and he's getting paid a lot. I can't kill even the contract. It's more kind of the overarching thought that this is necessary because they can't develop their own guys. Randy Gregory, Taco Charlton, David Irving's gone. And so it was kind of a necessary move when they should be really investing in Lawrence and Amari Cooper and everyone.
In other news, John Lynch, a general manager of the 49ers, has spoken out about the wide receiver room of the 49ers, which he likes, but absolutely people are going to connect the 49ers to Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown, the two big wide receivers that ended up going to other teams. Here's what Lynch had to say on why Odell Beckham and the 49ers could never really be.
Well, I would tell you, on Odell, we were very much in that. We had been in it. And I think, ironically, the fact that we had the number two pick made it more difficult because they wanted that badly. They wanted two number ones, and we weren't willing to part with that. That's too valuable of a pick. And
that was an interview with The Athletic's Matt Barrow. So the fact that they were at number two, they were so high up, they couldn't justified doing it. Was that a mistake?
Well, I think it tells you that they wanted him every bit as badly as the Browns did. But not having that number two pick in the first round, it's another reminder that when we talk about first round picks in general, I think analytics have taught us to separate late first round picks, mid first round picks, and early first round picks. There are generally 15 to 20 players in every draft that separate themselves from the crowd, and you want one of those top 15 to 20 picks, but the 22nd pick might be a lot closer in value to a mid-second round pick than, say, the 10th pick in the draft.
It's confusing because, they didn't get two first-round picks, the Giants.
Well, they consider Jabril Peppers a first-round
pick. Oh, I don't. I mean, right. He's already played 2 years, and it's different.
The things we tell ourselves.
I guess it makes sense, though, because the Browns have that mid-first-round pick, and it would have been a little tricky for the 49ers to work that out, and or they maybe just offer their 2020 first round pick, but that's not as good. I expected the 49ers to be even a little louder than they have been in this offseason, even though they've been plenty loud.
Speaking of Antonio Brown in the comments on KNBR, Lynch clearly, he's one of the guys that didn't like what was going on with Antonio Brown. It seemed we took a quick look and then we just said, hey, we're not interested in that for our team.
Well, this is
that's how I read into that.
It's the second time he said almost the same quote I mean, he's repeated this twice.
It is interesting, the little drips and drabs that have come out, the recording of Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown talking about how desperately they didn't want to play for the Buffalo Bills was interesting. The fact that the Patriots have now been confirmed as they were kind of lightly in on Antonio Brown, but they weren't willing to give up the same sort of compensation that the Raiders were.
Here's a report out there about Josh Rosen from Joel Klatt. Appearing on Wednesday's Undisputed. What is Undisputed? Whose show is that?
That's the Skip Bayless show. That's Skip
Why Bayless. Isn't it just called the Skip Bayless
show? It is confusing because they got the two shows. They got the Whitlock show. They've had that. I don't know what that's called, but it's a confusing name. And then the Bayless one, they just name it after the people.
Right.
I'm with you.
He's with the Sharp brother, right? Skip and Shannon, right?
That's right.
I'll call it the Skip and Shannon show.
Sure.
How much money are you paying these guys? Put their names on the
marquee. Skip and one of the Sharp brothers. It's just like depends on the day.
More like Skip the show.
Bang. Anyway, and now we're going to use their content on our show. anyway, Klatt said Josh Rosen is, quote, going to get moved. Klatt added that the Chargers, Giants, Patriots emerged as the top suitors. And one of those teams, Chargers, Giants, and Patriots, has already offered up a second-round pick, which seems like pretty good value, all things considered. I guess it's going to happen, Greg. Just a matter of when.
I think so. I left just hearing Cliff Kingsbury talk about it and believe that, and just reporters talking amongst themselves and buzz and all that. I think they know that they'll be able to trade him, and they think the best offer is going to come closer to the draft. I'm curious, though, about the Patriots there. There was sort of a strong undercurrent from multiple people, whether the Patriots are putting out there to get people off the scent or not. I don't know that the Patriots were not necessarily very high on Josh Rosen. That I heard from multiple people.
It doesn't matter to you either way, though, because you're out.
No, if you get Josh Rosen, I'm back in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
How convenient.
Is it because of the Chosen Rosen thing?
I want to root for Josh Rosen, and that just would be fun. It's not like I'm out like, oh, screw them. They're still going to be my favorite team. This is just a boring topic.
Is this like if a team signed a quarterback named Josh Wessel, I would have to start following him because it would be the same, you know, beginning?
That would be just like an interesting plot twist that you didn't see coming. But I think the Chargers are the most interesting team here, and there are some pretty strong rumors connecting them with Drew Locke as well in this draft. So I think they are absolutely in the quarterback market right now.
Really? Because I think Omar Ruiz reported Monday that they are not really looking to draft a quarterback.
It's silly season. It is tough to know what to believe.
We talked about it on Wednesday's show, the big news, the bombshell news out of the owners' meetings that offensive pass interference and defensive pass interference will be reviewable in at least 2019. The one dissenting vote amongst the owners, it was 31-1, was Cincinnati Bengals owner Mike Brown. And at the annual league meeting in Phoenix, he told ESPN, "Well, I've been in that position before. I just vote with my conscience and how I see it. I'm not trying to be offensive. I understand if someone else doesn't want to go my way." He added, "When they put it in, they were smart enough to restrict it more than it is today, and it was supposed to be used only when the play had a big impact on the game. Otherwise, you weren't supposed to use it. Well, it evolved over time, and now they use it in all kinds of situations. I don't think that's good for the game. It is the fact that there's going to be officiating error, but it's also the fact that instant replay doesn't always correct it. It actually compounds the problem on occasion." Wes, you have a tortured relationship with the Cincinnati Bengals. You probably won't classify it that way. You'd say it was a difficult or a ill-fated relationship. I'd say you and the Bengals, not always on the same page. But in this situation,
it was like the woman who tried to engage herself to you.
Right. Similar sitch.
Similar sitch. I can't remember agreeing on Mike Brown in many things, but 100% agreement. And these are the two biggest problems that I know young listeners might find this hard to believe, but believe me, I was around when they instituted instant replay.
Wes is old, guys.
It was expressly put in for particularly egregious big impact calls. It has evolved over time where you have to save coaches from themselves. Who's watching out for the game? The competition committee has to watch out for the game. Coaches are protecting their control over the game, their winning edge. It's no coincidence that two of the greatest coaches in NFL history, Bill Walsh and Don Shula, have the word edge in their memoirs because they're looking for any percentage point that can give them a small favor. That's how you win in the NFL. And getting 50-50 calls in their favor is one edge that these control freaks, and I call them control freaks, not in a negative way. When you invest that much time, you want your fingerprints all over the game. You have to save replay from the coaches.
But that's on the officiating in the league office to stop overturning calls unless they're obvious.
If they can take the challenge away from the coaches who have misused it since the rule went into existence.
If they consistently, and I think they did a better job of this towards the end of last year, if they consistently just didn't overturn calls unless it's obvious as the rule intends, I think you would have a better situation.
Well, that is a hypothesis.
Finally, in the news, the Alliance of American Football, the AAF, which is was launched the week after the Super Bowl to a decent level of fanfare. We had some fun with that fact. But the bottom line is that the NFL was behind it on some level. Maybe not enough is what's coming from people connected to the league. The games have aired on our network, but the AAF chairman told the USA Today Sports in a recent interview that the NFLPA is not cooperating with AAF because they're refusing to allow the first-year league to use young NFL players. Tom Dundon is his name. He actually aided the AAF earlier in the season by making a $250 million investment in the league when they were having some early payroll issues. And it's just incredible to me, guys, that first of all, Dundon, this guy's a billionaire. He owns the Carolina Hurricanes NHL franchise. I don't care who you are. $250 million investment is a big deal. But I'm surprised this year there are 8 games into a season, essentially. And there's talk that the plug could be pulled as soon as after this weekend's games. And the reason why is because I guess the AAF thought the NFL was going to give them more support beyond just some television coverage, that they would actually be a true pipeline, which is a great idea in theory, but you understand why the NFL is like, whoa, we can't do that. This is professional football. Injuries, and there's a collective bargaining agreement involved here. It's not that easy to do that. We can't help you like that at this point. Meanwhile, the AAF is saying that it is drowning, essentially. This could be a quick, ugly death.
It sounds like a threat from Dundon that isn't to be taken too seriously. It's really a fight between him and the NFL Players Union. I think the NFL does want it to be a developmental league. They've said as much, and they would like players on futures contracts to be available to the AAF. The problem is the union has not agreed to that. There's a battle back and forth. And Dundon seems like he's so frustrated, and he's the chairman, that he says if they're not going to give us their young players, we have to look at all of our options, one of which is discontinuing the league. He knows the NFL doesn't want that to happen, so he's trying to push, you know, the NFLPA to negotiate. It's a little in the weeds here.
That's quite
know.
A bluff, you know, to say we might even.
He said one of which is potentially discontinuing the league, because I think the NFL really wants it. And by the way, it's been doing like huge numbers. Relatively.
Huge relative, you know, to what?
Relative to what's on NFL Network normally and relative to other sports. I mean, relative to like a PGA, a regular kind of PGA weekend or a Grand Slam tennis quarterfinal. Like it's been doing pretty. There's a reason why they're showing those on NFL Network instead of old NFL games. People are watching it.
In baseball as an example, like the Arizona Fall League or something. It's not a natural parallel, but you can have players, if you're a fan, let's say I'm a fan of the Jets, I want to see a young prospect. If it's in that league, I would be interested in that. But I understand why that probably is never going to happen, because the PA, that's just too much of a risk. The sport's too dangerous in that sense to risk bodily harm and ruining a prospect on someone else's team, essentially.
It feels like a purgatory, because the NFL, like, to me, has been doing them a solid with all the attention they've been giving them. But if you're not like in bed with them, like the NBA has been with the WNBA and the G League, like those are entities of the NBA. But is the AAF?
No, it's somewhere in between. I mean, the NFL is clearly throwing its weight behind the AAF in relation to the XFL, which I think it wants to fail. I mean, I'm just like reading the tea leaves there, but you're right. And I think that's what the AAF's trying to do, is make it a little more formal.
All right. That's what's happening in the news. All right. It's crazy how time flies. This is the fifth season of the Greybeards, a fake football franchise that started here in Los Angeles. And then when the Chargers were ripped away from San Diego, we moved the Graybeards south and down the old five. And I'll tell you what are the Graybeards? We look at what's going on. We're 3.5 weeks out from the league year, and we see players without jobs, players that deserve jobs, players that can help teams in 2019. And many of these guys, the majority of the players on the roster, will help teams in 2019. So I want to start with a plea, Greg, to sometimes I don't want it to be lost. I don't want – this isn't flippant. I want all these players to get jobs.
You do. So you look at yourself as kind of a gateway to the NFL. You're like your own developmental league.
In a way, yes. And I have the platform at NFL.com. If one general manager happens to read the Graybeards article, which really a smart decision, NFL.com/Hanzus, and sees a player that's like, oh, wait a second, maybe I should check in on this guy again, then the Graybeards have done their job. So we are a feeder system in a way.
You could look at it a different way, which is that if it took reading about a free agency, a free agent available on the Graybeards to know that he was out there, that the general manager should be fired.
It's a bad sign for that team. But before we go
through... Wait, Sam... Oh, wait, I don't want to give it away.
Before we go through the roster, to send that message, that positive message, put together a little bit of a musical number, because music is the universal language.
That's right? True.
I thought that was sex. No, what? Wait, that's no. That's...
I thought it was Esperanto.
Ricky, hit it. This is the building. Graybeard, give him a chance. Give him the shot to prove them wrong. Graybeard, the mind is sound. The body is tight. The soul is able. Graybeard, give him a chance. Make him feel whole. Bring him inside your home. Graybeard. 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 Graybeard.
Gotta tell you, that was better than some of the stuff I've seen in halftime shows.
You know what? I was getting a little bit of a Jackson Maine vibe. You know, like the first kind of like rock song that they play that's just like a Jackson Maine banger.
Yeah.
Like that.
Thanks, man. All right. With that out of the way. And I feel like I've...
A little Nickelback maybe thrown in there.
Yeah, it's got a Nickelback vibe, I could say. But there's some electronic elements in there. We're not just...
When the drums start picking up the beat, I mean... That's there. Watch out.
All right.
Watch out, ladies.
It was like the Miami Vice scene with Something in the Air Tonight.
All right. That was a dated ref, but I'm with you on it.
All of my references are dated, and I don't care if people get them or not. In fact, it's better for me if only a few do.
This is a good... I like fact-checking pop culture. Ricky, do you know what Miami Vice is?
Yeah, it's a movie.
No, it's a TV show.
Well,
with Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell?
Yeah.
God.
Please tell me you know it was based on a TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't. She didn't. All right, here we go. Quarterback. Same thing. You guys evaluate this roster and don't hold back. I had the big fish, Evan Silva, help me out last year. And because he's so professional, he took it overly seriously. And I took up a lot of his time and I felt bad about it. So I didn't bring him up this year. So I'm going to lean harder on you guys in 2019. But thank you, Evan, for your help last year. All right, here we go. Sam Bradford, 31 years old. He's the starting quarterback of the Graybeards. He's 31. He might be the oldest 31-year-old in the world. Let's face it. He's got bad knees. And he's been in mothballs for basically 2 years. But he is also two seasons removed from leading the NFL in completion percentage. That's 70%, boys. He had a 20-touchdown, 5-interception year that year with Minnesota. Perfectly serviceable, maybe above that. I bring in Brock Osweiler as a backup, knowing that Sam probably isn't going to be able to make it through you know, September. And Josh McCown, who will be 40 years old by week one, but a great glue guy. Everybody loves Josh.
It's tough when Josh McCown's not even a starter on this team. He's still like the coach in the locker room. Right. It's like, oh, yeah, he'll be great, a leader
right.
Well, for Sam Bradford.
He looked cooked last year when he played. Like, right, but, just done.
But you know what? He's there. He's basically a coach on the field, you know, in the practices and things of that nature.
Bradford's interesting because, you know, he played, granted, just two games the year before. But he averaged like 9 yards per throw in those two games and then had a good year the year before. And then he was with this unbelievably terrible Cardinals situation that, like, is yes. ended a lot of, it felt like it was ending a lot of careers and a lot of potential. But the fact that Josh Rosen came in and actually looked better than Sam Bradford, that was a tough spot. I do like the fact that the number 101 guy on our top 101 free agency list, every year he's on the Greybeards, whoever it is. I mean, because that's good. He's got the good marketing pop from yep. The list. And now you put Bradford, who's been there, stuck at 101 on your tickets.
Here's my fix for your quarterback room.
Go ahead.
Osweiler doesn't need to be anywhere near this team or any team.
Okay.
So I would take
people
him
know
off.
Him though.
I would take him off. And if Sam Bradford can't play, and a lot of people think his knees will never allow him to play again, mm-hmm. on this team with who's available, I'm going the Josh Johnson route, doing a little dual threat quarterbacking. Mm. He played. I mean, he held his own with the Redskins at the end of the year.
He's from San Diego too, and a local legend, San Diego
we
State.
We like that.
On
we
this
like
team,
that.
You're going to need a running quarterback.
But
I think.
The problem is though
right.
that you,
you need mobility. With that line.
Like, yeah, you want name value, local guy, this and that. Like, how about you take a chance on a guy who can lead you to a mythical championship? And there's only one guy out there that could do that, and that's Geno Smith. He was already in San Diego last year. He knows where the locker rooms are. He knows where the local taco places are, so you don't have to help Geno with that.
I mean, he was in L.A. last year.
Whatever.
That's why we're in San Diego now.
Whatever. I don't know. Geno Smith.
Geno's phone didn't ring. He was expecting a Greybeards call, and it never came.
Give him a chance. Give him a chance.
All right, let's move on to the running back room. All right, beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. The Raiders close the door. Well, we open a window. And what's very important, extremely important, almost confusingly important in our organization is having a really good media guide cover. And that's why, not the only reason, but Marshawn Lynch, you put him in the room. He's 33 years old by week one. But you know that he's not going to be able to carry the load. You want him to be a guy, you know, a little thumper between the tackles. Maybe he can carry you for a half or something. Keep him healthy. Hope he doesn't quit the team. But you got to have a real potential bell cow guy. That's why Jay Ajayi is joining us, 26 years old by week one. He has the international appeal as being a guy from England. So we're going to get that hook. And, you know, he's had his moments and he's still a young guy. CJ Anderson's out there, too. So we're going to have a running back by committee, obviously, here. Showed he had some tread on the tires in L.A. And what are we missing? A guy who can catch a ball out of the backfield. We're going to eschew a fullback. Instead, we're going to bring on T.J. Yeldon, 25 years old. Ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Your thoughts on my running backs?
I am severely crestfallen, disappointed that you do not have Darren Sproles in your backfield.
Yeah. Thought about it.
It makes you wonder, what is the Greybeards here?
T.J. Yeldon couldn't grow gray hair if he tried to.
Right. That's what is the idea behind the Greybeards? I always thought it was kind of a guy, you know, guys towards the end of their career. Yeldon's going to be on a team, on an NFL team, I think. So
not yet.
He'll be a part-time. I know, but he's
young. I
didn't
realize you were so cutthroat.
He's young. Ajayi is only 26.
I mean, he's very serious.
He's coming off an injury, so he's going to be on an NFL team. So he's just stopping by the Greybeards. I think Sproles is a guy you combine with Marshawn Lynch. To me, that's like a picture-perfect Greybeards backfield.
Now, I get why you're saying that. The Greybeards, we have...
Another San Diego guy, by the way. Wow.
Was he?
He was.
Oh. Well, maybe I made a mistake there, but... it's not just about being old. The exercise is just covering who's out there, but it just so happens that a lot of these guys end up being close to the wrong side of 30, which tells you a lot about how hard it is.
I totally made that up, by the way. He had his best years. I was checking that. I'm like, is that right? He had his best year. You know, he had some great years with the Chargers, and that fan base who needs some hope and some love and some memory of that, you know, would be rooting him on.
There's no reverse gears in this tank. We move forward with the city itself. You know, wide receiver. All right. A little bit of a problem at wide receiver. And this pops up every year at the Greybeards. It's a position scarcity for real teams. Our team is left to pick up the guys that can't really move too well anymore. So they have a nice name brand, but maybe you worry about separation and you absolutely have an issue with taking the top off defenses. But what we got here is Dez Bryant.
So he's a condensed offense.
Yeah. Dez Bryant is 30 years old, hasn't played in a long time now, and is coming off an Achilles tear. But again, that media guide is very important. So we're going to slap him on there too.
And the, just the season tickets. Cause you got to have eight season different tickets. Guys. You got to have eight guys.
And from the national, you want coverage from national outlets. Every team does. Dez's comeback attempt. Well, you find it here in San Diego. Michael Crabtree, he fell into the Lamar Jackson abyss last year. But before that, he was a virtual lock for over a five-year stretch for, you know, eight or nine touchdowns a year. I know, like Dez, he doesn't get separation anymore, but hey, there are worse red zone targets. Pierre Garçon, 33 years old. I don't know what he has left in the tank. Maybe we'll slide him into the slot, see if he can do some damage in there. And then Kelvin Benjamin, just a giant. It's just good to have a giant. And he's 28, and everyone else has given up on him. But that's part of the Greybeards aesthetic, is giving people one last chance. So, Kelvin, welcome aboard.
Look how far Demaryius Thomas has fallen. Can't even make the Greybeards.
We were in negotiations, but it just didn't work out.
No. Well, he's also coming off an Achilles tear and a arrest issue, I think.
Yeah, there was a car issue. We also... We talked about it internally, and having two over 30 wide receivers rehabbing Achilles tendon tears seemed a little bit of a bridge too far.
That's the cover of your media guide.
You know, right. I think you want to, you know, think about Chris Hogan just because.
I looked at him.
Maybe not a lot of production, but he brings kind of that Patriots championship. You know, he teaches the guy what it's like to be the middle of a championship.
I got a deep threat for you.
Who?
Terrell Pryor.
A little bit of a poison, maybe.
Well, we haven't been able to find out exactly what it is he's bringing or taking away from locker room.
You're going to need someone to replace Crabtree when the Patriots sign him to be their, like, you know, seventh guy in training camp. It just feels inevitable at this point.
Once a graybeard, always a graybeard. It just stays where it is. If they're not on a team on March 29th, we get them. All right. But you guys kind of are on the same page as me. Like, we're going to have an issue stretching the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's an annual.
But I think Dez is a great move because, you know, if he was signed by most teams, it's like, all right, Dez, you know, calm down with the social media a little bit. Let's just like focus on football. Not at the Greybeards. You're like, fly off the handle.
Throw off that X.
Take shots at the Cowboys. Do it all.
Kill them. Tight end. All right. So Antonio Gates was on the team last year. He's on the team again, even though he's going to be 39 years old by week one. Like me, he's a 1980 baby, and we stick together. So Gates is back. I'm going to put Austin Seferian Jenkins in my starting role, though. I saw a little bit that I liked in his year with the Jets. I know last year in Tampa, he kind of just disappeared, but
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, yep. Excuse me. But Jacksonville it was a bad year in Jacksonville all around. So I'm going to bank on that. ASJ has something in the tank, and there's not, trust me, there aren't a lot of other options.
The pickings are slim. One guy I might take a look at is a former second-round pick, Max Williams of the Ravens. The two X's, Max Williams?
Double X.
I don't
throw up the double X. Injuries, I like that.
Yeah, injuries have really hurt him, but, you know, just for an upside point of view, maybe you could turn his career around.
I think the combination of Gates and Michael Humanawanui would be like really exciting. You got the pass catcher, you got the blocker, you bring in
which one's the pass catcher?
Kind of Antonio Gates. I mean, he's a legend.
He's bigger than Human at this point.
He's a Hall of Famer. And then Human, you know, maybe brings in kind of, you know, you want as much diversity as possible in terms of their background. So, you know, maybe get some Islanders coming to the game and
I like
root
that.
Him on.
We'll take people from all over the world. I'm trying to look at it so far. I don't think Marshawn Lynch is a Hall of Famer, is he?
He's borderline.
He's actually an interesting case.
Borderline. He was crucial to a team that was near dynasty.
I think he's got an uphill battle, but I would listen to an argument for him.
But Gates certainly will go to Canton. So he's the only sure Hall of Fame guy we got. Offensive line, always a tough exercise because teams struggle to put together half a good offensive line in many cities. So we're taking what's left. Donald Penn just got cut loose by the Raiders. He has three Pro Bowl bids, and most recently in 2017. So he was functional. John Sullivan just played in a Super Bowl. So that's not nothing. The rest, Jeremy Parnell, Quentin Spain, Josh Sitton. I mean, it's a bit of a roll of the dice with Sam Bradford behind center.
I think you have better tackles than some NFL teams.
It's not the worst offensive line. You're right. That would not be
age
the worst.
Is an issue.
That would not be the worst offensive line in the league.
No,
every
I
other
agree.
Position group, I think it would.
I worry
age
that
age is an issue. You're right.
I think it's the average age of about 32 or 33 years.
You might
years
struggle
old.
In the run game.
Penn, I like Penn, though, because you need a guy who does, like, hey, we've got, like, the digital, like, a 7-minute video that we need a player to kind of do a breakdown, some digital videos,
right.
Go on the local programming to kind of, like, promote the thing. And I think he's got that next career in the media, and he can do that as well.
Good call. Good call. It's Jeremy Parnell. I said Jeremy.
Well, yeah. It's,
I think it's pronounced Jeremy, but it's just spelled messed up.
Might be one
You're
of those
right.
Favre situations.
Annoying.
Let's move to the defense now. I like the this same thing happened last year, and I remember the Big Fish had a similar thought that the offense was shaky, but the defense is solid. There's some good players here. On the edge, Ziggy Ansah, Rap Sheet put it out there that he has a shoulder issue that teams are worried about. But this is still a dude, 12 sacks two seasons ago, 14 and a half back in 2015. He's 29 years old or 30 years old week one. I'll roll the dice, and I'm a little surprised no one else has to this point. Maybe the shoulder is totally jacked, but we did that. Nick Perry, another guy that has some history. He has a double-digit sack season. Has fallen off in recent times, but, you know, we take a flyer. Adrian Claiborne, bring him on. He graded out well on PFF this season.
Played in two of the last three Super Bowls.
And why Mark Brady, the shadowy league figure, why would he be calling me in the middle of an Around the NFL podcast?
He doesn't know this.
Shadowy behavior.
And finally, Shane Ray, 26 years old, a total Elway draft bust, it looks like, but we take a flyer on him and see if we can get anything out of him. What do you think, Wes?
Two guys I like who are not on this list. Aaron Lynch is one of my favorite free agents left on the board. I thought he showed really well as a rotational rusher for the Bears last year. And I would take a chance on Derek Morgan over maybe Shane Ray or Adrian Claiborne. Mm. He's coming off, like, he had a terrible year last year, but the year before that, I believe he had 9 sacks and just now turning 29, I believe. So still got maybe something left in the tank.
Yeah, I think you do a nice job kind of, you know, having a variety of red flags from these guys, whether if, you know, it could be like Ziggy Ansah doesn't just have one injury. He's got like 7 different surgeries over the last couple of
years.
He's
also secretly 54.
It's like Shane Ray. Actually, he's young and healthy, had some talent, but kind of not known as, you know, the best behind the scenes guy necessarily, or,
what's
you know, hasn't
for?
Really, I don't know. Hasn't really fulfilled his potential. I don't know if he's taken his career as seriously as you want. Claiborne though. I like Adrian Claiborne.
All right, good. Interior defensive line. And here is the third and final man on the cover of the media guide is Ndamukong Suh. I mean, the man is photogenic and everyone knows Suh. Getting up there in years, but he's got something. He's still got the motor a little bit. Maybe he's not the same player he was in Detroit, but he will be a presence in our line. Corey Legit, another guy. Listen, he's got a quad surgery he's recovering from, so you have that red flag. But this guy, and he was on, I believe, on your top 101 boys, an 8-year starter.
Fairly high.
Mo Wilkerson. This was a tough one for me because I don't like Muhammad Wilkerson in terms of as a man. No, the way things ended with the Jets, I think he basically stole my favorite team's money and stopped working hard. But he's also, at this stage in his career, 29 and coming off a serious leg injury in Green Bay. A lot to prove and probably looking for one last payday. Brent Urban, not really familiar with his work, but he was on your top 101, so he got the final spot.
I'm a little surprised he's still available.
There's some good picks here. You might need like a hog molly, like a huge run stuffer. A guy like Danny Shelton or Damata Pecco, who's, you know, going to be about 34 years old. I'm sure has the gray beard.
So just a beefy guy
beefy,
could maybe take
like,
up a couple linemen.
A poor man's snack.
I like Dan immediately took some notes, wrote that down.
Danny's
like beef in the middle.
Just for situational, you know.
All right. Great. You know, there is a case to be made that I talked to you guys about this before I write the piece, but I like it.
No, it's good.
You did a good job.
Linebacker, Zach Brown, another guy. He's sitting at number 29 on the Wessling and Rosenthal top 101.
Wes would have had him in the top 12.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
mad at me. I like put him at 47, and it balanced out to that.
And now he's the captain of the defense of the Greybeard. So that felt like a major steal.
Not sure if he's captain material, but...
We take chances on guys. We give them opportunities other teams win.
That's not a terrible defense. Him and Suh and Ziggy flying around.
Jamie Collins.
There's talent. Jamie Collins, I don't know what to do with Jamie Collins. I don't know where he would fit in. I don't know what the defensive scheme is, but I know he's a guy that has tools. And I've been told there were tools.
He's flexible. I think he can play in multiple schemes.
This is going to be one of those defenses that answers the question, what would happen to a defense if everybody was just doing their own thing instead of like...
It's true.
Like Collins and Brown are just freelancing all over the
field.
They're
freelancing. They're just trying to get tackles. Sue's just like going for sacks, right, not trying to stop the run. So like you have a lot of big plays and highlights, like you don't get a lot of stops, you know, funny, but though, a lot of turnovers.
That sounds like it probably wouldn't work, but no one's ever tried it.
Right. It's innovative.
I got Manti Te'o in there too. Sure tackler. He's got a good background. So another big thing in our organization is that we're very big on giving the beat writers some layups for their notebook leads.
Oh yeah.
During training
good
camp.
Policy.
So we got Te'o in there. We got Dez.
I saw a beat writer for the Colts actually retweeted your column and said, this is a gift for beat writers. You have already written the stories for us. I would be happy to follow this team.
There you go.
George Bremer, who covers the
Chargers. Wow.
Great. Well, I'm very big on that.
And Te'o, another Hawaii guy, another guy who played in San Diego. So I think it's all coming together.
You're picking up on our business model. Cornerback, or you know, the secondary, it's tricky. It's same thing where you worry about speed and age more. But Mo Claiborne, who I think is a rock solid number two type cornerback, that I'm a little surprised the Jets aren't bringing back yet, or haven't, or won't. But he is out there. He'll be our number one cornerback. So good luck to you, Mo. Brent Grimes, this is clearly, you know, I don't want Miko to come after me if I left the boy off this list. So he's on the team, even though he's 36 at this stage. He's the oldest graybeard.
Has some gray in his beard. He's still out there like playing 60, 70 snaps a game and not doing poorly.
Captain Munnerlyn and Tremaine Brock round out my cornerback group.
It's rough out there for cornerbacks. I do like Claiborne, who is better than some teams' first cornerback. Mm.
True. At safety, Eric Berry, come on to the gray beard.
Oh, yeah.
You're a perfect gray beard.
That's a leader in the locker room.
Yep, we love another easy notebook lead. We love guys that are on the comeback trail. And Glover Quinn, he is contemplating retirement out in Detroit, but I thought maybe we could bring him back for one more ride, a veteran in the locker room and a guy that knows how to play the position.
Mike Adams is another guy, 39, definitely gray hair, gray beard. Trey Boston might be the best safety out there.
Yeah, you know what? Gennaro Felice, who does a great job editing our stuff here at NFL.com, was stumping for Trey Boston, and I dismissed it.
Mike Mitchell, who played for the Colts last year, and I believe won Defensive Player of the Week 1 week and had two dynamite games for them, but then ended up on the injured list as 33-year-old safety.
Yeah, he's kind of known for some dirty hits and whatnot. I think that might be more attractive to the Greybeards than most NFL teams.
Yeah, that's true. Kicker, the Kowski brothers, we're going to call him. Oh, Seabass is coming back, Wes, and you know why he's coming back.
He has to.
Because that man, for all that he's done for the kicking game after 18-plus seasons in the NFL, we cannot let him go out with the shame of the divisional playoff round in Dallas, yanking a hamstring, popping a hammy like some uncle in a family reunion flag football game and limping off the field into retirement. No, come back, rehab that leg.
He personifies right. What the Greybeards are all about.
That's right.
What, bad special teams? I mean, I'm going to be worried. When you look at this team, you don't see a lot of gunners. You know, you're going to be a little worried about the kickoff coverage. And then if you're counting on Seabass to make a tackle on that kickoff, he's just going to run straight to the sideline.
I didn't fill out the entire roster. So they're just imagine the gunners are all great athletic specimens.
You can get a gunner off the waiver wire any week of the season.
So Seabass is actually my starter. People are going to say, oh, about Gostkowski. He's done really nice work. He has 45 Super Bowl rings. But that's a kicker in decline. I want Seabass starting. And by the way,
as opposed to Seabass?
And yes, I know what you're saying out there. Where's Kai Forbath? Well,
Kai's Kai.
We'll leave it at that. Finally, punter, Brian Anger. Nice work, Brian. Got a job with the Greybeards.
His name's Anger.
That's it. That'll do it for you. Now, I will ask you the question, as we do every year. I'll get out of the way. I have a number in mind.
I mean, please, Gostkowski's appeared in as many Super Bowls as anyone in NFL history other than Tom Brady and
not because
Mike Lotish.
He's been along for the ride.
He's kicking the Super Bowl every year.
He's fine.
He's along for the ride. All right, I have the number in mind what I believe this team would go in a 2019 NFL season. Like if we swap them out with, say, the Chargers, you get the Chargers schedule instead. It's the Greybeards. What their record would be? Curious what you guys think. Be honest.
I'm going to go 1-15. I mean, you just gave them.
You know what? You're a bad guy.
You gave them the Raiders schedule. I mean, the Chargers schedule. So they get to play the Raiders. I think they can pick off Oakland at home. But I think the problem is scoring.
1-15?
I think that the combination of that quarterback room and the offensive line, it's going to be a lot of injuries. It's going to be old and it's going to be problematic.
I'm worried about that.
Right. A lot of times when you see teams that end up in a lost season, 2-14, 3-13, playing out the string, it's because their quarterback room looks a lot like yours. Injuries happen to the quarterbacks, and then they end up with, like, Matt Castle starting 8 games or something.
Okay.
So I think the number one issue with your team is the quarterback room, and I think that limits your ceiling to 4 wins, but I'm thinking 3-13 is what this team represents.
Okay. I look at it, and I honestly see 6 wins. I see a 6-10 outfit.
Well, you're like a proud father.
And the goal is 8-8. We're not trying to win a Lombardi.
I mean, things can break, right?
What that really is, you know, quietly doing is shaming the New York Jets and teams like that who have been unable to win 6 games for the last 3 years. So
not
you're
really.
Saying you, that you
nice
can
way to try to like manufacture a dig on my favorite team for no reason.
I'm saying that you're digging on Mike Maccagnan, that he couldn't even put that you could put a better team of just cast offs than he's been able to do the last 3.
Well, we were in an important rebuild and we tore it down before the Dolphins, and everyone is like throwing up hosannas about the Dolphins right now. Well, the Jets did it 2 years ago. I didn't hear anything like that.
I thought your point was the Greybeards did it to you.
No, the Greybeards, they try to compete every year. We're kind of like the Dolphins model before the organic fish tank.
Oh, okay.
You know? How about that, though? Nobody was throwing bouquets at the Jets' feet 2 years ago when they did the same exact thing the Dolphins are doing now.
No, in fact, I was...
I think they were trying to win, though, weren't they? They won 5. I don't know.
I was apoplectic that Todd Bowles was flat-out lying about the rebuilding.
All right, so there you go. The 2019 San Diego Greybeards, and you could get their the single, Give Them a Chance, Greybeards Football, parentheses, on iTunes.
There you go.
All right, that's it.
It's fun not available show. On Tidal.
While you're on iTunes, no. Leave a review.
Leave a review on iTunes, yeah, while you're there, 5 stars, and we would be very, very happy. Sign up the Around the NFL podcast subreddit, get involved, have a voice. Talk about us. You know, we'd be positive if you want, but we don't care. Either way is fine. Also, what else do we have to promote? Yes, the Twitter show where I will be unveiling my pocket square, Greg. And we'll get a good tight shot on Greg when he first sees it.
Dressing up for the Twitter show.
On Wednesday at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. And yes, 3 more shows next week. And 3 shows every week through the draft and a little bit beyond it. So.
All of the people who signed up for Mark Brady's Instagram account will be tuning in to see your pocket square.
Yes, and that is the final reminder. Follow Mark Brady at Mark Patrick Brady on Instagram.
But don't complain to him that there's not enough pictures of us and too many pictures of his family. I mean,
he has a beautiful family.
Yes, but
it's his own account. So we've noticed you guys out there that have done it. But we do appreciate that. Well, actually, you know what's funny is he's actually lost like 75 followers since I last.
Gotta keep him in.
Get back on the train.
You gotta
get
keep
back
him in, Brady.
We boosted it by about 400 or 500, but now it's in retrenchment. People are like, I don't want to.
Get a neat gimmicks.
I don't want to see you hiking with Erica.
Ricky, what are you doing this weekend?
Just hanging out.
Just chilling.
Yeah, it's been a lot of travel the past month, so.
Oh, it has been, right? You need
I'm,
to.
Yeah, I'm
you need
looking some forward downtime. To
put the engine
out.
In neutral and just
coast.
Well, you would float if it was in neutral. I meant just like if you're at the dock, you put it in neutral.
Yeah.
Just chill out on the yacht.
Yeah. Sounds perfect.
Great. Awesome. That's it. Great recap. Stan Hansa signing off for the mailman, the old boss, Ricky Hollywood, behind the glass. Let's go, Greybeard. 6-10. We can do it. Till Monday.